Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rivalry Radio. I'm your host, Jay Fowle. Tyler Hayward will be here momentarily to talk Michigan State and Michigan basketball. Last weekend, obviously, successful for both schools as they took down SEC teams Florida and South Carolina. Michigan goes to 10-0, Sparty 8-2. Sparty, a big win on the road against Florida. I thought Florida really was trying to take that from them. Athletic is the word that comes to mind when you talk about the SEC. South Carolina, same thing, very athletic. They got to points where they could really score at Michigan at will because of their length and athleticism. And I think that those are things that could be a problem for Michigan moving forward, being able to go against that. The Big Ten has a lot of talent, obviously, but I do think what the SEC brings a little different. There is some athleticism that you don't see always, even though the Big Ten is a very athletic conference, obviously. But I do think that the SEC brings a couple different looks, but I do think it was nice to see both schools take that athleticism on, handle it with poise, and get two big wins. So, Tyler's with us now. We're going to talk about that, to recap that, and then we're going to talk about both teams on the court. Obviously, Tyler, Michigan State looked very well in some areas. Maybe they didn't score the ball at the high level, but I think what's kind of interesting and nice to see is they played solid on defense. You know, it was a low-scoring game, and when you're on the road, you can win a low-scoring game. I think that's got to be pretty positive, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, and I mean, when you ultimately look at it, they had an opportunity to join us. So they've had these opportunities on the road. You know, they've not been the prettiest game, but, I mean, you and I, we've talked about it before. A lot of Michigan State's offense, you know, everyone talks about how they're a high-scoring team. Everything like that. A lot of their offense gets started on defense or gets started on rebound. So they,
we lost Tyler for a minute there, and we'll get shortly on that. I think what Tyler had mentioned with the rebounding and pushing the ball, obviously Michigan State does such a great job of that, pushing the basketball. Cassius Winston does a phenomenal job of that. Langford running the wings and other wing players flying down the court. And then obviously the bigs, with Ward, rim running the way he does. Tillman looked good at that. I think that we both can attest to that, that's a big part of it for Michigan State's offense, no doubt, pushing the ball, getting easier baskets, where the Florida game, it was harder to come by, it's a low-scoring game, but they get the job done. I think it's good to see when you're a team that's played a certain way most of the year. Michigan State scored the ball at a high volume, and they've looked really good offensively this year. They've maybe given up more points than Izzo would like, of course. And, of course, assistant coach, Fife, who probably hates that. But at the same time, you need those games where maybe the offense isn't flowing the way it typically should, and you still get a win. You get stops. You get big loose ball plays where, there's a loose ball there, and Kyle Ahrens gets the ball and gets a huge dunk. I mean, those are big plays that prove the toughness of this program, which we've always seen. We've always seen that toughness with Michigan State, and I think we'll continue to see that toughness. I just think it's a staple in the program. I think those are big moments for basketball teams. And, Tyler, are you with us now? Yeah, lost you there. I'm going to, one thing I want to say before I get back to, on what you thought with the game. Well, I'm just mentioning, I think it's so important that they find a way to make the loose ball plays. Obviously at the end of the game there's some loose ball plays where you know, Aarons gets the ball and gets a huge dunk. Those are signature plays. Talk about that, because the toughness is always a part of Izzo's teams. But I think this team is a lot tougher than last year's.
Yeah, and I mean, you hate to put this on someone who, I mean, it's crazy how much he actually meant for the program ultimately, and you're going to see it in some of the recruiting classes coming up. I mean, you hate to put it on Miles Bridges, but Miles Bridges didn't have that Izzo toughness. You can talk about him being a blue-collar superstar in regards that he wants to do everything and he's willing to put in the work. But, I mean, you looked at him defensively. I mean, when he was a 4 his freshman year, he didn't have it. When he was a 3 as a sophomore, you know, he wasn't good there either on defense. And
this team
still lacks a little bit, you know, Cassius Winston. I think he's tough in some aspects. I mean, he's not a good defender, but ultimately that's what you relate to toughness on the basketball floor is defense and rebounding. And, you know, you look at the guys like Tillman Ward and, I mean, God, Kenny Goins, you know, a couple ACL tears, busted nose, bloody eyes. Like, I mean, that's, you don't get much tougher than that. And, I mean, Langford, he's tough in some of the aspects where, you know, against Louisville, yeah, Michigan State ended up losing the game. But he had, God, he probably had, what, the worst 34 minutes of his career. And then the last 6, he was lights out and did everything he could to help Michigan State win at the end of the game. You know, McQuaid, McQuaid's tough. He's willing to get in there and, you know, make our old high school coach proud and take those charges. And everybody, you know, Kyle Arnes coming off a season-ending injury before the season even started last year was going to be a pivotal part. And, you know, Izzo said it again this year. You started, so, I mean, a lot of people I know, including myself, kind of chuckled at that with Aaron Henry coming in and the fact he's a freshman. You know, freshmen don't like to play defense. He's playing as good defense as anybody on the team from a physical aspect. I mean, mentally, you know, he's still not there as far as Tom Izzo likes it. But, you know, I mean, top to bottom, not saying they didn't have it last year, but this year they know that they can't just throw it to 22 and get out of the way. You know, it's going to take effort from everybody. And I think that you're starting to see it a little bit more with this. You know, they do have individuals that can take over, but at the same time, they don't have that one definite player that in years past. And so I think having that makes this more of a Tom Izzo team.
Yeah, they're collectively better. There's more chemistry. They play better together on both sides, I think. Defense, I think they've ran into some teams where, you know, it's really hard to just completely shut down a Texas. We've seen the North Carolina, Texas, how up and down that was. Yeah, you know, Louisville is explosive. Kansas, obviously. I mean, that's the no-brainer one. And, you know, even Rutgers on the road, you know, they can fill it up. They've proven that first segment of the game that they were just lights out. This is proving that win against Florida, they've been scoring at higher volumes, but they also can still play that lockdown defense. So they can get the job done with, blue-collar type plays, loose ball stuff, and that's what's going to carry them in the end. Because, maybe what they're lacking and not being able to just give it to one guy, even though I still think Ward in the post is a huge presence. He's not a guy where you're like, okay, he can just dominate great teams by himself. I mean, they're going to need a collective unit, and that's still really powerful. And I think that, you know, Michigan's kind of the same way. You know, they've got 3 or 4 guys typically that are a huge part of their offense. Michigan State's got that and some guys off the bench even. I just think that collectively it's going to be a fun team to watch. And you know, the Big Ten Conference, this is going to really prepare Michigan and Michigan State because how tough it is. I mean, we've seen what Indiana just did. They're really coming along. And we see how so many teams are – so good. And I think that when we get to the tournament, because obviously these are two tournament teams, no doubt, and beyond, you're talking, if they continue this throughout the year, you're talking Sweet 16 and then beyond. I mean, you really have to mention that with both schools. On the Michigan end, they're more finesse, but they get enough stops. I think there were some holes against South Carolina that worried me for Michigan. I think that they did struggle containing the basketball. They kind of reverted back to old ways where the baskets were very easy for South Carolina. Let's talk about Michigan real quick in that game and what you maybe saw and what you also would say maybe are concerns or what are just major positives still for Michigan.
I mean, here's the thing that ultimately Michigan's made it by on their defense over the last two seasons, really. And when you look at some of the baskets that South Carolina got, I mean, it wasn't necessarily coming in the half court. You know, it was a lot of South Carolina disrupting the basketball is what was leading to those points. And so, plus Michigan's defense is still fine, even though, you know, South Carolina's considered more or less a lesser opponent, and as opposed to what Michigan has played, you know, having played North Carolina and Villanova, which, again, those are two teams, and we talked about it's not really fair to U of M how those two wins are being downgraded in some aspect because Villanova's obviously not that national championship team right now, and North Carolina's not as good as people are used to them being. And so those wins are kind of falling by the wayside as far as the value of ultimately Michigan still playing, you know, great basketball through and through. You know, they did have a few turnovers against South Carolina that led to some easy baskets. You know, but despite those turnovers, they were still filling it up too, you know. So
right.
They're going to be fine. You know, everyone has a fluke game. You look at Michigan State Louisville, really. I mean, that was a fluke game. And, you know, it's going to happen when the season's as long as it is. And that's one thing that I like about basketball more than football is one fluke, like, let's say, a night game against Purdue isn't going to cost you a shot at the playoff. So
right.
So it's a learning experience. Michigan doesn't have those guys who can take over. And some would argue that maybe this is the best way to get a learning experience because, you know, you blow out North Carolina, you blow out Villanova, which, like we said, they're not the teams that we're used to seeing from those programs. But you're beating your chest over that a little bit. And then to have a game against South Carolina be a little bit closer than it should have been, you know, it maybe snaps you back down to reality without having to suffer a loss. And, I mean,
yeah.
Michigan's going to lose a couple games this season probably. You know, we talked about it. I think Michigan State has just as good of a shot, if not better, of an opportunity to, you know, win the Big Ten than U of M. I do think that if there's any one of these teams in the Big Ten that can get away with, we've talked about how four or five losses is probably going to be, you know, the baseline for the Big Ten champ. I think Michigan can do it. I think Michigan can run through this conference with three. I think Michigan's got a better shot than State of that, but I think State's got a better shot of winning the Big Ten, if that makes any sense whatsoever, because I think Michigan, as far as the level of consistency, you know, that's there where you don't see that at other places in the Big Ten. So I think that having avoided a loss so far this season, but making it a little bit closer than it needed to be, I think that gives them a little bit motivation and could jumpstart them for their next. I'm not going to say the whole season, obviously. You know, 40 is almost impossible now, but can jumpstart them for their next stretch of games.
Right. No, there's no doubt. I think what you see with both teams. I was thinking about this the other day, where I think Michigan State as a program is more built than Michigan to win the Big Ten, where I think Michigan might be a little more built to make a run in a tournament than State because of the way they have games where they just catch fire. And that's the biggest thing with the tournament, where I think Beeline's been so successful, even when they struggled in the Big Ten. You know, we looked at a few years ago where Derek Walton had that stretch of games from Big Ten tournament on where he was lights out. And Wagner had some big moments, and they just hit a big shot where, you know, they're making runs because of it, because they catch fire and they shoot the ball so well. And Jordan Poole's a guy that he's completely came into his own. He's proving why he was such a high recruit. He's becoming a better player already than Rockman was. He's a more gifted player offensively as a whole. You know, he can drive, he can shoot. He's a better passer. He's really coming into his own. So you have moments where, because of how Poole plays, because how good Iggy is, how good Matthews is, when they catch fire, it's a tough team to beat in the tournament, because you got three guys that can really score it, and then you still have a guy like Simpson that can stretch the defense and get to the paint. And Teske is a good enough scorer. So they're hard to beat in the tournament, whereas the Big Ten, where it's a grueling season, and those little plays like what happened in the Florida game where it's a loose ball, everybody's fighting for it, Michigan State gets it and gets a dunk. I mean, those are the big Big Ten moments where Michigan State's continuously done that over a long period of time. In a regular season, Michigan State is that team. For a long 20-game season, Michigan State is more consistent. And I think that they'll grit it out, you know, and you get it. I mean, we've seen both schools long enough, same coaches. We understand how the programs are run. They're a gritty team still, Michigan State. So that's why I still see them, you know, running through that conference, being tougher than the rest. And, of course, they've got flaws. Michigan does too. But I just think in the one thing Michigan has going for them, that you just said it, being able to be undefeated, though, and still winning games when you don't play always great, is a very big confidence builder. So this could be maybe a different year for Michigan because of that. They might be able to squeak out a few more wins like Northwestern, where then you're talking, okay, they are built for the long haul. But it's a grueling season. I mean, it really is, and State's built for it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, gosh, it's two games in, you know, in the Big Ten. We've got 18 more. It's incredible. The schedule is just daunting. Michigan's got a really easy break here in the next three or four games. Obviously, they have Western Michigan, a school I played for. I'm excited about that one. I might even go. I always think I'm going to go to games. I probably won't. But I'll be definitely tuned in to see that game, because that will be kind of close to home for me. But like I said, they've got a little easy stretch here. I think it would be very important for Michigan to play really well. Play well against lesser opponents, don't fall off, and then you'll be fine. Talk about one thing you're looking forward to seeing as we get into 2019 for both schools. Like one thing that maybe pops out that you think is going to be the deciding factor on maybe who can get through that tough schedule.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it's between these two schools. You know, you might get Indiana sneaking up in there once they get completely healthy. You know, and I mean, I think I said that before the season even, or before the Big Ten play even started, that, well, we thought initially Purdue was going to be number three, and we kind of figured everything else was, you know, falling at the wayside, though we thought everybody else would be really good. You know, I think Indiana is kind of proven, hey, maybe they can be that team. You know, Wisconsin looks a lot better with Demetri Trice. So with Demetri Trice healthy on last season. So ultimately, I think what is going to lead it between these two teams, what can make the difference in them winning the Big Ten, moving on to the new year. I think for Michigan, it's finding that consistency on offense if you have a defensive letdown.
Mm-hmm.
I think because, you know, the easiest way to score baskets off misses, and that's been a lot of what Michigan's been doing. You know, it's not typical transition. They're not getting the transition points that Michigan State does, but they're getting the stops and the defense doesn't have time to settle. I think when you look at Michigan State, I think a big part of this is going to be it's going to be how Tom Izzo handles the situation on the wings.
Yeah.
Winston's obviously point guard, you know, Tillman, Goins, Ward, you know, they can all go off any given time. You know, Goins almost had a triple-double a couple games ago, and then you look at a situation like Florida where, hey, Tillman led the whole team in scoring. And, I mean, those aren't even the best post players on the team. You know, that's 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Or 2A and 2B, however you want to word it. And so I think when you look at the wings, I think that that's the one spot. Aaron Henry, is he going to come along? Tom Izzo talked about with week off, you know, Michigan State doesn't play until Sunday now. You know, trying to get the freshmen more involved. I think Aaron Henry is going to be the big one. Gabe Brown and Marcus Bingham, again, 2A and 2B situation, because I think you need another post player. And so if those guys can come along, if Aaron Henry can come along, does that change how you play the wing? You know, Kyle Arntz has played great lately. You know, he had 17 points the other day. He's got a – and then you look at, you know, the Florida game, you know, the last 7 points, and he buried Florida. You know, a dunk, a three-pointer, and then a scoop shot. So, I mean, does Tom Izzo play Arntz? Or start Arntz over McQuaid and have McQuaid be the first perimeter player off the bench? You know, does Aaron Henry see a few more minutes? Does Gabe Brown see a little bit more? Because Gabe Brown, I think, having his athleticism, you know, would just be another tough one to swallow for the opposing team. So I think that's going to be the big thing for Michigan State is how he incorporates the freshmen, particularly the wing players, into this offense, into the system. So,
yeah. No, those are good points because I want to talk just a little bit about recruiting because I know we went back and forth on it. And one thing I'm just so tired of with recruiting, and I posted about this the other day, and I even did a little segment on Anchor about it. We don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, obviously I made even a statement when the football and how I was just so tired of people just acting like they have this inside information. And it's just, they don't. We don't know why Rocket Watts hasn't signed yet. We can speculate. We can have an opinion. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion on it. And me and you mentioned it could be a couple things ironing out academics. It could be, I thought it could be ironing out the possible movement of players. You don't know. I mean, I think we're kind of not seeing a Cassius Winston leaving early type situation, but it's something that maybe the kid wants to look at. Look, I think where Michigan State and Michigan are very different is obviously recruiting, where I think Michigan State is a monster in recruiting. They get a lot of depth. There's a lot of depth there. They recruit high-level kids. They get multiple of them. Whereas Michigan kind of says, okay, we're going to get one or two guys who might be a little higher ranked. Obviously, they have Jalen Wilson coming in who is just outstanding. You know, definitely look at him, Tyler, when you have the time. Obviously, I know Michigan State recruiting, you're all in. If you want to look at a kid, you know, Jalen Wilson is a big-time player for Michigan, and he's going to be a guy that it really helps them for depth, more scoring. But if you look at Michigan right now, because of the way they've recruited and the way the development of their players is happening as a depth thing, they struggle because Austin Davis is, look, I'm not going to knock him, but he really hurts Michigan when Teske goes out. He is a liability against good teams. Whereas Xavier Tillman, you don't drop off. You don't drop off at all when he goes in. You actually improve in some areas. And I think that's what hurts Michigan and why they don't win a national title is because you've got to have a couple guys off the bench that you recruited that are freshmen or sophomores that are really good. Whereas Michigan State might be – something might be brewing here because Xavier Tillman's so darn good. And with recruiting, Rocket Watts, if he goes, that's another really good guard where even if he doesn't start next year, he comes off the bench and he's big time. Whereas David DeJulius from Michigan. They're so high on him. He comes in the game, it's a drop-off. It's a major league drop-off. And he's not even close to the level of Simpson. Now, we can argue, though, on Michigan's end, they do develop players over time, where Xavier Simpson 2 years ago was not very good, whereas a junior, he's very good. So this is a two-year, three-year project with some kids. But Jalen Wilson is the type of kid that Michigan State would get. He comes in, and he could start next year. I think he's as good or better right away as what Michigan already has. And, you know, let's talk about the recruiting where, you know, let's mention the Rocket Watts thing first, talk about that, and then also talk about how the both schools recruit a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think Rocket Watts, he keeps talking over and over again how he is for sure set on Michigan State. So there's some external factor, whatever it is. And, you know, I'm expecting that to be ironed out. If it is, I mean, you talked about speculation, and that's all this is. Academics, you know, we've seen certain academic issues get worked out before with Tom Izzo, and so if that is the case, there's no doubt in my mind that it's going to be a workout again. Again, it's all speculation. No one knows for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you talked about having other people in his ear, and, you know, maybe just trying to convince him otherwise, and so that is what it is. If that's the case, you know, he's still coming out and he's still saying it. He was still trying to get Vernon Carey, which, I mean, we talked about how that's a big loss. Well, Michigan State's going after the number one recruit who just reclassified, and going after Isaiah Stewart. I mean, a couple five-star guys. So, you know, Carey, a big loss, not the biggest loss. As far as both schools recruiting go, as good as Michigan has been, and the fact that they've been to, you know, a couple Final Fours lately, it sounds almost derogatory to say it in a way where, as far as recruiting goes, they're not on the level that Michigan State is. You know, it took Michigan State a little bit of time under Tom Izzo to get there. Like I said, it does sound derogatory because they've made it further than State the last 3 years until, you know, Michigan State went to the Final Four in 2015. But they're not to the point where they can just get someone and have these guys come off the bench, you know. And Michigan State, I guess this class, the class that they have in right now, Aaron Henry, Gabe Brown, Thomas Kithier, Foster Lawyer, all of those guys, Marcus Bingham, need developed. All of them need to be developed, but you still recruited strong enough to have Tillman come off the bench. You recruited strong enough to have McQuaid or Arns, whoever it is, come off the bench, and they were developmental. Those two were guys. And so you built it up to a point where, hey, we can afford to have a year where it's all development. And that's what this is. Aaron Henry, I think, the only contributor. And he still got some developing to do in regards that he needs to understand his role. You know, he hits the number one guy is what it looks like. He's trying to take over the game. And it's like, you don't need to do that with Winston Langford and Ward on the floor with you right now. So
right, yeah.
So he's still trying to understand his role, but he's the only, like, real contributor this year as far as the freshmen go for MSU. But next year, you know, all of a sudden, hey, four-star Malik Call's coming in. Rocket Watts, more than likely, coming in. I'm not going to say it until it happens. You know, I've seen worse situations with Caleb Swanigan. Then you have potentially Isaiah Stewart. You have potentially the number one overall recruit. You know, Keon Brooks is probably headed to Indiana, but, you know, he's still an option for Michigan State. So it's a lot of mixing up in regards to how it seems things have been going lately. But, I mean, that's what happens when you have two competitive schools. That's what happens when, you know, we've talked about the lack of talent in Michigan because they're all going to play elsewhere.
Absolutely.
For prep schools and stuff like that, I mean, you're still competing for a couple of those guys who decide to stick it out. And so it's one of those situations where, you know, both schools are starting to get it. I think Michigan State still kind of holds the edge as far as guys that are from Michigan. But Michigan is starting to close it, but you're seeing some of the repercussions of that in that, you know, Michigan missed out on or didn't really have much of an opportunity for Tillman, if you will, and Michigan State got him, and now Michigan is looking for depth in the post. And you know, I mean, when you go against a team like Michigan State, you are going to need that depth in the post. So I think that Michigan getting there as far as being able to, you know, pump their chest with Michigan State in the state, but I mean, that's where it ultimately starts between the two. And I mean, Tom Izzo's got such a stellar track record, not to knock B-lines, but Tom Izzo's got such a stellar track record that, I mean, he's still holding the edge, and it's probably more or less not even an issue that Izzo's better than B-line, because I think they're both great in their own way right now.
They're different,
but
just different.
You look at the look at the longevity and consistency. I mean, God, Tom Izzo's almost been there a quarter of a century.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's where he has a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, I think what happens is this, though, and this is something that people have to realize and they have to understand everything and why it works the way it does. Michigan's actually recruited outstanding. They haven't recruited poorly at all. What they've done is they get the right pieces. People don't realize Xavier Simpson was Ohio Mr. Basketball. And this wasn't a bad player coming in. This was a very highly ranked player. He was unbelievable in high school. And the state of Ohio is very competitive. And the state of Michigan is very competitive, too. There's a couple things that happen in Michigan that we don't get to see our best kids leave. Or, you know, I wish they wouldn't, because that's what's happening. But the difference is this. This is an example where you compare players. Foster Lawyer is Michigan's Mr. Basketball. Is he better than Xavier Simpson was as a freshman? Not even close.
No.
Xavier Simpson was someone who came in ready. And they're both Mr. Bass. So you can argue that Michigan won that recruiting battle. They got a kid over time that has developed. We don't know how good Foster Lawyer is going to be. We have to wait. Where that's going to be a project for Izzo, because that's still a kid you need to get better. You need him to get better the next few years, because Cassius Winston's about to leave. Rocket Watts comes in, though, and then there's another situation where you have a couple really good guards. I think Michigan's recruited outstandingly at the point guard position. Eli Brooks is a big-time player. I mean, if you look at the Northwestern game, Xavier Simpson was terrible. Bad shot selection, couldn't hit a shot. Some of the things we talked about, I thought they should defend Michigan that way. Hey, let Simpson take shots from outside. He struggles. And then Eli Brooks, you can't guard him that way because he's a better shooter. And this is a kid from Pennsylvania that isn't a high recruit, but he's a big-time player. And we also got to see how good David DeJulius is going to be. Because David DeJulius, when he came in, a lot of people were like, hey, this kid from Detroit, he's big time. So they've recruited outstandingly at the point guard position. And I think it's allowed them to not only catch up to someone like State or other Big Ten teams, but surpass sometimes. Whereas they struggle at the post position. You're absolutely right. They just cannot get the big guy inside, like a Nick Ward. I think it's a lot because of how Michigan plays, though. They're not a, hey, you're going right to the block and post. The only time Michigan really posts where they dump it inside is really with Charles Matthews. They'll get Charles Matthews isolated at the elbow or the block, and because he's such a good back-to-the-basket player, that's Michigan's post game. That's it. There's no – John Teske is 23 feet away from the basket 90% of the time, and he's almost 7 foot. That tells you everything you need to know about Michigan's offense and why they don't recruit straight up back to the basket players. John Teske is a back to the basket player. He's not now for Michigan. He's screen and pop, screen and roll, and that's it. You know, you don't see him come right down to the block and hey, you were giving it to you, go to work. I don't think I've seen it when I've watched him, Tyler. I don't think I've seen it more than a couple times. It's just not what they do. So they recruit so well with wing players, guards, bigs that can stretch the floor. They recruit very smart. They recruit the kids that they want that will fit into their system, that will do the things that will help them be successful. And they really don't get high-level kids, but it's really interesting because the kids they're getting are still really good. You know, we don't realize how good Xavier Simpson was coming out of high school because guess what? He had to play behind Derek Walton for 2 years. And that's where Michigan's done well. They've done great at the point guard position. Obviously, we see what Trey Burke was able to do. Derek Walton came right in right away, which was just so big for them because when Burke leaves, you got a huge hole. And I think that's why they kind of struggled a few years there after he left, but they also were able to still make a run at the end of Walton's career there. So it's kind of funny and interesting to watch the recruiting, how it plays out. I do think Michigan State, this is why I'm really big on Rocket Watts for you guys. He's the one guy, he can come in, I truly believe this, he can fill that void right away. He can fill that void that's left at the point guard spot in 2 years. If Foster Lawyer just doesn't develop at the highest level like we would like to see him do that, Rocket Watts is your guy. And if Rocket Watts doesn't go, then you have a little bit of a problem. Because I love Foster Lawyer. I think he's a great kid. I think he can really play. I don't think he's a bad player. I think people judge too fast. I just think that he's not the guy.
Physically, he's not ready right now. As far as mental and his skill, he is. He's good.
Mm-hmm. We have to see what he can do. I really hope it works out because, you know, he is from here. He was Mr. Basketball. My gosh, he had such a great career. It was fun following him. And I really want to see it work out for him. But Jalen Wilson coming in for Michigan, big time. David DeJulius, he will develop. Simpson will still be back next year. The point guard position at Michigan is outstanding. Jalen Wilson is not a point guard, but he even could be. Jordan Poole could play the point guard position. They are loaded when it comes to ball handling skilled players. And Jordan Poole could easily run the point guard spot, I'm telling you. And he's just blown me away this year. I haven't seen a kid develop that fast in a long time in 1 year. I mean, I know Nick Stauskas, we could argue he was obviously the one that developed faster than maybe we've ever seen. When you go from off the bench as a freshman to Big Ten Player of the Year as a sophomore, you know, that's big time. Jordan Poole, Tyler, he's playing at that level. You know, he had 26 the other night again. He is playing, and we mentioned this, but this was the guy that I thought I had doubts with. I said, I just don't think he can do what Rockman does. Mo Wagner, I didn't think that could be replaced. It's being replaced. You know, and now what they need to do is, well, this is where they're missing Duncan Robinson, the guy they're still missing. Somebody that can come off the bench or start that can just lights out. And Isaiah Livers is just not there yet. So we're going to see a lot of this all year, but recruiting is really big in this thing. Michigan State's loaded. Michigan's loaded for different reasons. And, yeah, we're going to have some good basketball, aren't we? We're going to have some good basketball for both schools for a while.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, both coaches are kind of up there, so we'll see where it goes after, you know, they decide to leave if we're that far ahead. But, I mean, right now, you know, both teams, two best teams in the Big Ten, not even that close. You look at this new net ranking system that the selection committee is going to use. That's got Michigan number one in the country right now. And pending matchups, you know, Michigan State can come in and just, you know, kick Michigan's door in. I mean, anything can happen. But pending matchups and how the teams match up with each other, you know, that could go either way. And the fact that you can do that with the number one team in the country and you can do it in your own conference, in your own state, but speaks volumes to what's going on here. Good for the Big Ten. It's good for the state of Michigan. Hopefully this...
Good for rivalry radio.
yeah, good, great for rivalry radio. It makes sense, but hopefully this can help to increase the talent level that decides to stay in the state of Michigan, you know, can... You get guys like Xavier Tillman to just hang out in Grand Rapids for 4 years before he makes up his mind. And I think, you know, when that type of thing happens as well, you know, it's a domino effect and it comes all the way around full circle. If you can get into staying in the state for 4 years, then we're likely to stay in the state when they go to college for 4 years. And so you've got to be able to keep that up.
Yeah, I think we're, you know, football is pretty much over, but I will say this with the difference between Michigan and football and basketball, as you're going to see this next year, Michigan's really going to struggle next year. I'm calling it right now, and they are going to lose a lot of guys. And it's Michigan football fans aren't going to like me saying this, but this is where Ohio State is still 3,000 miles ahead of you. They recover quickly when guys leave, and it's going to really hurt when Bush leaves, Rashawn Gary, Winovich stayed, obviously, but you're seeing a trend now where Michigan guys are going to start leaving early. They're already talking about Josh Metellus maybe leaving. That's going to be a huge void. We've seen
how bad
that was when he was Shea Patterson. Honestly, the quarterback position, I'm okay with that. If Shea Patterson leaves for Michigan, I think they'll be okay. I think McCaffrey's done enough good things. I think Joe Milton's really good. They're going to miss Devin Bush big time. They're going to miss him big time. Him not going to the bowl game. They can say injuries all they want. It's not that. He's going to leave. And I know that's speculation. I know that's opinion. I don't see him staying. You know, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, what's the ceiling here? That's probably it. So I don't see him coming back. Whereas basketball, they get kids for 2 or 3 years in basketball, which is not normal in basketball. You know how that goes. The best kids leave early. Freshman, one and done typically. Michigan and Michigan State gives kids a few years, develops them, has good seasons back to back to back, and that's where it is. But football, look out next year for Michigan. I think they're going to fall down. I think they're going to hit, you know, they're going to lose 3 or 4 games because of this. I don't think they've recruited that high of a level to surpass this. This could be another 8-5 year where they got to make up for it the following year. And then we're really going to hear some Harbaugh BS. And I'm tired of it because here's the deal. Michigan's setting themselves up for that. You had your chance. This was your chance. You blew it. Now you got to start over again. And I just don't see – I don't think that they're built to last. And it's going to take a new guy. Harbaugh's a great coach. I know when I say you don't like that term for him. He's done a great job in Michigan. Let's just take a break and say, okay, the guy's done a lot of good things here. They were bad. He turned them around a little bit. They're competing at least for the conference. They weren't before. They're one game away, two games away. Before they were, 4 or 5 games away at a consistent rate. This is different. But I'm just telling you, Ty, we're going to talk about this more next year. I'm really glad football's about to be over because it gets us angry. We like to fight more in the football season, but you're going to see this. You're going to see this happen. I truly believe Michigan's going to fall off a little bit next year.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, you said, Shea Patterson. I said something about Shea Patterson leaving. You're like, oh well, I like McCaffrey. Well, you said something about Rashawn Gary leaving. Well, I know you're pretty high on, you know, his replacement. So,
yeah.
And I'll go ahead and I'll let you say it because I know you love saying his name.
I don't know who you're saying. Who is this?
You're kidding, right?
I didn't hear what you said.
No, Rashawn Gary's replacement. I'm gonna let you do it because I know you love saying his name so much.
Oh, Josh Uche.
There you go.
And then
say it with your chest.
Hey, Josh Uche, baby. I'm telling you right now, Josh Uche was great this year. Quiddy Pay, whatever the heck his name is, you know, he's good. They'll be fine. They're not going to be where they were this year.
That's what I'm saying. No, I told you that this year was their opportunity. You know, Ohio State was struggling a little bit more than normal, I guess you can call it struggling, finishing with the record that they did. You know, Michigan State was playing with their second string offense the whole season and missing their top corner, top two corners,
yeah.
really, or